A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Since the text is long in the Gospel, you might be more comfortable being seated. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things which had happened. And so it was that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there these last few days?" And he replied, "What sort of things?" And they said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers handed him over to a sentence of death, and they crucified him. We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all of this, it is now the third day since it took place, and some women from our group, however, astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. So they came back and reported they had seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had told them, but they did not see him." And Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them what referred to him in all of the scriptures. And as they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression he was going further. But they urged him, "Stay with us. It is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in with them, and it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread and said the blessing, he broke it, and he gave it to them. And with that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and appeared to Simon." Then they recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. I think if I stand up here, it's easier for the people at the back to see me. You just don't want to hear a voice coming from wherever. So let me look at this gospel. This is a fascinating gospel, one of my favorite texts in all four gospels. It appears only in the book of Luke. No mention of this extraordinary event on the road to Emmaus, no mention in the other Gospels. It's curious. Of course, scholars dispute exactly where Emmaus was. 7 miles west of Jerusalem, we know. But scholars differ on where exactly it was. And in our pilgrim gathering, when we traveled the land of Jesus, we went to a place called Abu Ghosh, which was the selected place by the Crusaders way back in the 11th and 12th century when the Crusaders ruled the land of Jesus. Abu Ghosh, there's a Benedictine monastery there, and I know I see some of our pilgrims here. You will remember visiting Abu Ghosh. Second thing about this gospel, exegetically, two disciples, but only one is mentioned, Cleopas, which leads scholars to believe that it was a husband and wife, since in the patriarchal culture of the time, the man would be the only one mentioned. Since the other person is not mentioned, the presumption is they were husband and wife. Disciples, a couple who were disciples of Jesus. Keep in mind, very important point, they're walking away from Jerusalem. Biblically, Jerusalem is our destiny. Jerusalem is the place of resurrection and life. It's also the place of testing. It's also the place of suffering. There is no resurrection unless we have died. Many times, if we want to inherit new life, we must die to the old life. We must let something go. The things we're clinging to. You want to be reborn in freedom? You have to let something go. We're burdened and weighed down by unhealed memories, by remembrance of judgments made about us, things that were said about us, rejections that were part of our life. We're heavily burdened. If you want to be reborn, you have to die. You have to let these things go. Jerusalem is our destiny. And therefore, when they're walking away from Jerusalem, biblically, they are walking away from their destiny. And as they're walking away, they're feeding one another. You know, that happens. You meet somebody who says, you know, I don't like Holy Family. You're right. I mean, let me tell you all the things that are wrong. Well, I'll tell you some more things that are wrong. Oh, there's something wrong with the church. I don't like the Pope, or I don't like the church. I don't like the bishop. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Let me tell you what's really bad about them. We tend to feed one another in our negative conversations, you know. And that's what's happening. They're feeding one another in their negativity as they walk away from their destiny. And Jesus walks with them. Now, that's the most powerful teaching of this gospel text. Jesus walks with them. But they don't recognize him, which is interesting in itself now. Because listening to the last few weeks of gospel readings, when you were at Mass every Sunday, you saw that the risen Jesus, Mary Magdalene did not recognize him in the garden when he appeared to her after he rose from the dead. She thought he was a gardener. Remember that? It's in John's gospel. And then, a couple of Sundays ago, we had, remember the doubting Thomas? Jesus appears to them, and he is authenticated in his identity by his wounds. But there's no mention of that here in this event. If they saw his wounds, they might have known it was Jesus, but the teaching is they did not recognize who Jesus was. So here's the teaching I want to draw from this. We tend to look at things from the outside in. And the Word of God and discipleship calls us to look at things from the inside out. Let me explain that. You're dealing with teenagers. Now, I don't have much ability to deal with teenagers. I mean, I'm too old, they're too young, whatever it is. But occasionally, I'm challenged. When you deal with teenagers, you have to look from inside. If you look from outside, you'll make a judgment. Say, what is going on? The world, what's the world coming to? If you go inside, Look at the person from the inside. They're searching. They're confused. They're certain in their confusion. Wow. So absolutely. When I talk with some of the young people and they say, well, how about abortion? What about whatever else, death penalty? I mean, they are certain about exactly what we should think. And so you have to look from the inside. I have a sister in Ireland. I have more than one sister, but one of them is blind, profoundly blind. She's also hard of hearing, and she's in very poor health. And she's cranky. She's difficult. Her husband is a saint. Truly, I mean, seriously, he's an extraordinary fellow. But you can't make a judgment from the outside. You have to go inside. You have to feel what it's like to be blind. You have to feel what it's like to be hard of hearing, to be in very poor health. And when you look at it from the inside, you read the text quite differently. From the outside, you say, I don't want to be around that person. That person is too grouchy. You meet old people who are lonely, they're empty, and they might be difficult. They might be demanding. Be somebody in your own family. But when you look at it from the inside and not from the outside, where we make judgments about people, we're dealing with all sorts of people in the church, people in second marriages, people who are gay, lesbian, whatever it is. We don't understand unless we go inside and feel the pain, the struggle, a desire to belong, a feeling of being judged and set aside. Unless we go inside, we will never have a chance to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ coming to us through the infirmities and struggles and humanity of people. And many times in the church, we make these judgments from on high, as if on high we are perfect. We make these edicts about people, but we don't touch the pain, the struggle, the anxiety, the limitations of people. That's the teaching. Jesus does not make a judgment about these two disciples walking away from Jerusalem. He doesn't make a judgment. He walks with them. You'll find that over and over again in the Gospels. Let me just stay in Luke for a moment, because there are many. John's Gospel, the woman at the well, five times married. You know, you've got all of this. But in Luke's Gospel, for instance, chapter 10, you have the Good Samaritan who sees the pain, the struggle of this man who is wounded. He sees his wound, he feels his wound, and he responds to him. 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the prodigal son. When he comes home, the father doesn't judge him. He doesn't demand. He doesn't say how foolish you were and you squandered your inheritance. He welcomes him. He looks from the inside. Who is it in your life that you must touch from the inside out, not from the outside making a judgment? That's the teaching of this text from Luke's Gospel. In Russian mythology, this story is told. Peter and Ivan were very good friends. They were close friends. They were drinking friends. They drank a lot of vodka together. And one occasion, they were in the tavern, well into their drinking. And Peter says to Ivan, Ivan, do you love me? And Ivan says, Peter, of course I love you. You're my best friend. Then he says, Ivan, do you know what pains me? Peter said, well, how can I know what pains you? To which Peter says, if you don't know what pains me, how can you say you love me? How can you love somebody unless you enter into their lives, How can you follow Jesus Christ unless you enter into the life of Christ, see the touch of Christ's love, the forgiveness of Christ, the welcoming of Christ? Unless you enter into the interior life of Christ and not out here where you know about Christ. Well, we know a lot about Christ. But how about knowing Christ? Now, I'll leave you with this story, which I am sure I've used before in a homily somewhere, because it's stuck in my head here. This stuff just is embedded in there and it comes out here and there. This story is told about an event that occurred on one occasion in an English country mansion. And there was gathered an elite group of English literati, people of learning, people of culture. And this famous actor, gave renditions from Shakespeare and from Wordsworth, Tintern Abbey, and various parts of English classical literature. The actor was so powerful, so articulate, so convincing in the manner in which he made his presentation, the people were awed. And after he finished each presentation, they applauded fiercely in recognition. So when he had finished, an elderly priest in the community, in the gathering, said, "Sir, would you read for us the 23rd Psalm, 'The Lord is my shepherd'?" And the actor said, "Father, I will do it on one condition, that after I have read the 23rd Psalm, 'The Lord is my shepherd,' then you'll come up here and read the 23rd Psalm." Well, the priest agreed with hesitation. So the actor read, "The Lord is my shepherd," Psalm 23. And he read it so powerfully, so articulate, so convincing, the people were awestruck. And when he finished, they stood up and applauded. Then the old priest got up and he went to the podium and he read the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." And after he finished, nobody applauded. Well, that happens with priests sometimes. Yeah. Nobody applauded. And then the actor went back to the podium and he said, "My friends, I know the 23rd Psalm, 'The Lord is my shepherd.'" And then pointing to the old priest, he said, "But he knows the shepherd." Enter into the presence, the person of Jesus Christ. Let the power of Jesus Christ take your life, take your vision, take your understanding. Read the experiences of life from the inside out, not from the outside in, as the Pharisees did in the time of Christ. Amen.